This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here, and join me each and every week for insights from my guest host and an industry first, a live virtual job tour, a Take the Automotive Trivia Challenge, Unwrap Your Fortune of the Week, and a whole lot more. The video version of this show is on aftermarketweekly.com. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Afternoon, not on the Pacific West Coast. It's second cup of coffee time out there, 9 o'clock. It's noon Eastern, though, right here with Carm Capriotto on Aftermarket Weekly. And we do this live each and every Tuesday. I'm a glutton for live. I have just unbelievably loved doing live. In fact, you're going to hear about I'm doing 4 live shows this week. This is the first. I think that's what that spontaneity and the beauty of going live is. Aftermarket Weekly, we're in the Dorman OE Fix Studio. And it's so much fun being here offering great automotive aftermarket wisdom. You can watch us on our website, aftermarketweekly.com, remarkableresults.biz/live, on Facebook. We're in a ton of places. And we have actually the most unique aftermarket resource that has ever been creative. It's me, a guest host or two, and a virtual live shop tour about an innovative, fun 25 minutes each and every week. I have one heck of a panel, everyone. Wait till you see this panel. Look, it's Keith Knowlton, his wife Linda, and Trent Pickering. Guys, lady, nice to see you.
Good morning or good afternoon.
Yeah, it's afternoon at our end of town. But Trent, you're out there in Colorado, so you're mountain, right?
Yeah, we're still on first cup of coffee here.
And I, as everyone knows, I am a coffee junkie. I always have to have a fresh cuppa before I come in the studio. So Keith, Linda, been in business lots of years. Keith and Linda have worked together, I think, what, 27 years?
27 years, yes, sir.
Yes.
So, hey, guys, how's business up there out in the great West Coast? Because you guys are from Bremerton, Washington, and the company is LKS Auto Repair. What's going on? How's business?
Things are very busy. We've had quite an increase over last year, but of course, with it being the COVID year and stuff like that, we're marking about, I think, 39% up year over year right now.
I continue to hear those double digit numbers. How about you, Trent?
Yeah, you know, we were actually hit pretty hard last year with the COVID, at least at one of our stores, maybe more so than the other. But this year, I was talking to the manager, we doubled last year's sales for this month already. So I would say that yes, the goal wasn't that high just because it was so bad last year. But we're moving in the right direction with a lot of positivity going forward.
Well, of course, you would double from last year because you were probably sitting around, what am I going to do next? I need all that money from the government to sustain. And even though we were an essential business and we were available, people just didn't want to, they didn't know how to experience a touchless environment. And even though March, April, we were just getting our sea legs and figuring out how to do it, weren't we?
Yeah. And I think also every part of the country was a little different. I know some people that were affected less. Even my north location was affected differently than my south location. So the dynamic there was pretty crazy. But yeah, it's much better to be on this side of it, feeling like we're coming out of things.
It is. And I continue to hear that very positivity all over as I talk to so many shop owners each and every week. Hey, look, Keith, I usually do a podography, but you've only been on one episode with me so far. And I just wanted to show the graphic. This, everyone, if you did not hear or see this episode, stop selling from your wallet. This was a very powerful episode. In fact, I have to tell you, Keith, I got an awful lot of reaction on this. And I know that a lot of people actually played this for their sales team. And it is so true that we always make that mistake of thinking what the consumer is willing to pay for, because that's what we're willing to pay for. And so stop selling from your wallet. Episode 208 of the Town Hall Academy. Thank you very much. And we're going to Pickering's, and we're going to actually see a great tour out there in Lakewood, Colorado. Great family business, and good to have you here. Our agenda here for today is Keith and Linda are going to talk about married couples, being married partner. Of course, Keith's going to do the shop tour. We're going to have a fortune of the week,
And a really cool trivia question. I'll show that trivia to you before. But we have been all over the country doing shop tours. This is our 51st week. And so next week is 52. And I have a really cool announcement about what's going on for 52. And hey, if you're hanging out with us on social media, love it. You know, give us a like. Don't forget, we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and of course, Twitter, and all that good stuff going on. Hey, AW's a podcast. Check it out right in the Remarkable Results Radio stream. Here's our trivia for the day. And by the way, gang, if you know the answer to this, please don't shout it out, okay? Because that's the beauty of waiting till the end of the show. What was the only car to appear simultaneously on the covers of Time and Newsweek? Keith, I bet you know the answer to that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to shout it out.
Thank you. I so do appreciate that. And hey, as everyone knows, great stuff each and every week about Dorman. Check this out.
Replacing rear wheel bearings on some Toyota trucks can be extremely frustrating. The bearing housing often becomes damaged when the old bearing is pressed out or when the new bearing is pressed in. Not only that, but a shop press may or may not be available. To assist with jobs like this, Dorman has developed a 90-plus minute time-saving solution with their OE Fix pre-assembled axles. These bolt-on solutions eliminate the uncertainty of performing this basic repair with all of the major components, such as the axle, bearing, backing plate, bolts, and seals, already assembled and ready to install right out of the box. Want to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Well, visit DormanProducts.com/tour.
Hey, in June, everyone, I'm going to Dorman in Philly, and we're going to do a live aftermarket weekly right from Dorman. I'm kind of excited. I love to see how things are made. I don't know about you guys, but boy, we have a Ford stamping plant in Western New York here where I live, and I've been through it twice. Love to see how that stuff is done. Hey, what's going on this week? Tomorrow, we're doing a Carmcast on why invest in digital signage. And, you know, AJ Neely, there's signs in the background there, spent a lot of money on that digital sign, but he talks about why it was such a great investment for him. And we also have John Klarkowski, who's also done some great sign work at his place. And we're going to talk about signs. Also, this week on Thursday, as a part of the Coalition of Automotive Management Professionals series, I'm going to moderate with Brian Gillis and the importance of a workflow process. And then, of course, Friday, our, I don't know, 222nd week Friday is, this is really going to be fun, 10 things that require zero talent. I'm going to be with Doug Grills, Mike Dela Cruz, and Clint White. Wow, how much fun is that? Hey, guys, let's just talk about the whole married thing. And Keith, great to have you here. And Linda, how many years you been married?
27.
27 and in business that long, huh? Wow.
Yeah. We started the business just the following little bit after we got married in November. We started it January 1, 1995.
95. How cool is that? Well, great. Hey, look at many couples out there are married. They work together. Share your wisdom and the idea of the ages here for us.
We've been, you know, married 27 years. We met at a Ford dealer. I was a technician and she worked in the parts department. And we met there and then kind of fostered this relationship and, you know, just kind of moved right into business after that. You know, we've had our ups and downs. I'm kind of a fiery guy, maybe not with all the people out there, but definitely with Linda. And she's put up with my, you know, my attitude and my up and downs. Sometimes she gets the blunt of all of, you know, energies coming out of me from what's happening in the shop to customers and stuff like that.
So wait a minute. Now, so that actually means, Keith and Linda, that you're opposites, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. You basically described that. So when Keith is going off, Linda, you probably pull him off to the side and say, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, sometimes let it go. I ignore him sometimes. I don't always listen to him. I just, my hearing sometimes is really bad and I don't pay attention to it. He can go off and I just, okay, whatever. Walk away.
Yeah, it's so smart. I mean, there's the formula on how to get along, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So when I'm ranting and raving, there's nothing else that, you know, that she can really do at that point. It's more that I just got to get it out and be done with it. And that's where she's learned over these years that why listen to it? You know, I'm just going to, you know, pretend like I'm listening and kind of appease him. And then that way he'll get out of my office.
So, okay. Communications. Communications is huge. Married couples working together. Do you each know your role specifically?
Yeah, but I like to step out of my bounds. then do his role and don't do my role sometimes.
And is that healthy?
No.
I don't know if it's healthy not with, or...
No, it's not healthy.
And you know that, but still in all you do step out of your bounds. And Linda, what is the reason that you do that? Is that you'd maybe love to do a part of that? You're curious about stuff, so you kind of go into something you maybe know that Keith should be doing?
I do, and sometimes I do it out of spite because I get tired of yelling at me. So I do some of his things.
We're not having a domestic here. Contrary to what anyone thinks, it's 27 years of marriage, right? And you know each other so well, and you tolerate each other. And probably at the end of the day, you look and say, Linda, you were a little crazy today. Well, so were you, Keith.
It definitely comes up with that we both kind of, you know, stepped out of our lane is what I call it. You know, you're got to get back in your lane. And there then once go. We get back in our lane, then we do it. But, you know, the biggest thing, I guess, is what we say is once we lock the door at night, set the alarm, it stays here.
That was one of my biggest questions is when do you turn it off?
We have to turn it off right when we lock the door and leave it, you know, at 5:30. It's got to be shut down at that point. We do take a few things home with us, a little bit of work that we've got to do. And if we either one of us gets out of our lane at home, the other one definitely reminds us that this is not the place for it.
And is there ever a moment that, you know, dinner, you're cleaning up, you're getting ready to relax, which is something that's so important. And do either one of you say, hey, you know, that thing we're thinking about, we want to do, it's a change in the business, a strategy, this or that. Isn't it sometimes the best time to talk is, you know, when you're alone at home?
There's
sometimes
times.
Sometimes it is.
And it depends on the strategies that we're working out, Carm. You know, it could be that, you know, we're trying to, you know, maybe work through a problem that we have down here that it takes both of us working on. And we'll be able to put that as long as it's nothing that's going to excite any kind of tensions or anything like that, that, you know, would cause at home. So there is a few things that we do.
So Linda, I guess what Keith just said, there's some things you got to take home.
Yes. And there are things that we work on at home together. Sometimes he's on his laptop, I'm on the computer working in our program. I have payroll. So I'll take that home and do it in the evening. But yes, there are things that are easier to deal with at home when we're talking together.
Got it. You have a chance to go on vacation together, and will the business succeed with you both gone?
Yes, that was another one of my topics was, you know, when we both go on vacation, we take two people out of the front part of the business, which then really kind of starves, you know, our service advisor and our appointment coordinator. And so we have to kind of be, you know, ready for that kind of stuff. But we definitely take at least two vacations a year together, try to get at least out for 7 to 10 days, because that's about the only time, you know, finally everything starts falling off after about that 5 or 7 days. And then we're able to think clearly again, I guess, is what it is. Not all convoluted up with, you know, the problems that we had before we left.
Great advice, guys. What else would you love to share with our audience?
It's a give and take type thing. A lot of patience, you know, being together every day. Some of the best times of my day are just driving home from work because we don't drive in together. So I get that little bit of free time to kind of think about things and just having that extra 10 minutes of just enjoying, you know, of me thinking helps out. But, you know, we're together all the time. So
you agree with that, Linda? The time alone is good?
Yes, because I'll take off work and I'll go shopping or I'll go to the store, do something, or just not go directly home. And you need that extra few minutes.
Wonderful. Glad to hear it. Thank you for our marriage counseling lesson of the week. And it's really not. It's so exciting, guys, to hear you talk about that. There are some shop owners that say, oh, I never want my wife involved in the business. And some of them have been working together hand and foot for years, like you guys. And I do love to do interviews on married couples. So I so appreciate you all being here. Thank you so much. A couple of things I want to cover here. All the episodes, remarkableresults.biz/AW. Just go to my website. You'll see the Aftermarket Weekly page, and you can see every one of the episodes right up to, of course, this one will be released on Saturday. But yeah, everything is there. Every shop tour. If you say, hey, I gave a shop tour on Carm's show, you can go and watch it if you know somebody that did. The fortune of the week, I just cracked it. I opened it. You know, the cellophane on those containers are so hard that I can't even open them up. It's amazing. But let's see if we can all get wiser. A good book is the best of friends, the same today and forever. A good book is the best of friends, the same today as forever. Well, I love to read books, and I know that the leaders of our industry do a lot of reading, and so many great ideas come from reading books. What came out today, here's a little walk through what's going on with the podcast. Seth Thorson did a great show for us that released today, The Yellow and Red Envelopes. It's his emergency plans. The yellow is if Seth is down for the count for anything up to like 3 months. And the red one, of course, is the terminal one. If something happens and, you know, of course, he's never succeeded the business, what are the plans that the business needs to have, both personal and family? It's a very short but very eye-opening episode. We also, on last Friday, released an episode with Aaron Lowe on the Supreme Court ruling. That was the Google and Oracle fight that went up to the Supreme Court about copyright. And Aaron brought it down to earth about what it means to the automotive aftermarket. This past Thursday, we released the episode from the Town Hall Academy on specialization. That was really, really cool. So look at Trent. I'm glad you're here. Okay, Mr. Pickering, we've got this ready to go, and we'd love to have the tour.
Real quick, we can start right here. It's funny you talk about digital signs. I think I'll have to catch that episode because right there you'll see our marquee. We have planned two large digital signs, one on either side to face Wadsworth, which is a major street in our area. Like you said, very expensive. So I'm very interested to see their take on cost versus benefit on that.
Yeah, I know how much AJ spent. I know it. I know the number in the back of my mind. I will not say it. You're going to have to tune in tomorrow. If not, the Carmcast can become a podcast and a video. You can always watch it afterwards. But we will go live with that tomorrow. But very, very high, high number. But he says so, so well worth it. Anyway, let's start the tour.
Yeah, very good. So you can see we have a pretty large facility. My dad actually built this building in 99. So he had the luxury of being able to kind of design from scratch. As you can see, we've kind of got a new modern theme. We had previously been a very 50s retro themed. We actually had awnings on the building. We removed all that. We redid the signage to LED, little signs you see on the side. We repainted it a little bit more cleaner, more modern color there. So, but it's a very large building. It takes a lot of energy. So we are energy efficient. You can kind of barely see it, but there's some solar panels up top. The entire roof is filled with solar at both shops, actually. So we are currently almost always, I think, pretty close to self-sufficient, if not putting back in the grid at sometimes. So we changed over to all LED.
What do you think you saved?
That would be a question for my brother. He's the accounting side of our business. I am not that. So, but I know that it's significant enough that when we did it to the first location, it made enough sense that we ended up going out and searching out and doing it to the second. So we also burn our waste oil. We have LED lights throughout. We're pretty energy efficient when it comes to that kind of thing.
Got it.
You can see we're a Napa Auto Care Center. We're proud of that. We've been Napa Auto Care Center since I can remember. So, but there's the floors you were talking about, checkerboard, that went along with our original 50s theme. Soda shop type feel is what my family was going for originally. That it was back when service actually meant something, that you were taking care of people. And that was the feeling. We've moved forward and we had issues where we were being thought of as the shop that fixes old cars, which we don't even work on anything older than like 96. So it was a disconnect. So my brother and I, once we took over, decided to rebrand and kind of start over.
Nice. Here's Trent going to be on the move here.
All right. Welcome to my office. You can see we still have a little bit of our old 50s theme there. Some of the old stuff that's pretty cool, but we added this new modern feel. We had the glass block. It used to have like a yellow light in it, changed it blue, added some different colors and stuff. But this is kind of what you were talking about. We exist to keep your life in motion. That's our calling, is to keep people doing what they want. But this is our little heritage wall. You can kind of see this is where it all began. 1914. There's Pickering's Garage, and that's my dad's great-great-grandfather, I believe. So I'm a fifth generation now in the automotive industry. It went from Pickering's Garage into tires during the war. Retreads and things were highly needed. And then it progressed to where my grandfather was doing, owned Phillips and Anderson Tire. That progressed to where my dad started Pickering's Auto here in Lakewood. And we now have the two locations in the Denver metro area.
You know, it's great, Trent, just to see that you put the homage to the legacy of the business up there. That's great.
It was important to, exactly what you said, pay homage to it, but still be okay with being us and being the new version. We just finally got some of these walls painted and we got pictures up and that kind of thing. If we go around the side here, this is kind of what we consider it the bullpen. This is where the service advisors do all their work and their calls. And so we've got a couple of stations there. There's a little window to the bays, which we'll come out to in just a second. We've got a parts room here.
Yep. Nice, organized. Yeah, zoom in on the shelf so you can see the level of detail that they have. Look at that. Very, very good. Very, very good.
Yeah, I wish all of it looked pretty like this. The BG shelf is probably the best one. But yeah, no, we don't stock a whole lot. I mean, anymore, the stuff that you have to buy for these cars is one off.
Hey, Trent, turn the phone sideways so we get a wider shot.
Bam. Better. There we go. All right, so we can go on out where the magic happens. Hopefully it's not too loud today.
How many bays?
16 bays. We have a heavy-duty alignment rack over here. This is our newest rack. It'll do 16,000 pounds. We do some box trucks in here. We have the ceiling capacity for it, so we do that from time to time. So,
do you have fleet business?
Yes, it seems that fleets are somewhat of a revolving door. Once the corporate gets the hold of the numbers and they require them to go somewhere else for a little bit, and then they always come back. So,
got it.
But yeah, no, we do. We have some fleets that we work with, and it's really great. So currently at this location, I have three master technicians and one general service technician. We actually consider him a productivity technician rather than GS. I don't like all the stuff that goes along with the quote GS. So it seems like it's gotten a bad rap in this. So we're trying to change it.
You have created a better title.
Exactly. Yes. And his whole job is to help everybody in the shop be productive, whether that means we need an oil change or a guy needs help pumping the brakes or we need a test drive or a customer needs to be driven home. All those things are included.
Wow. Look at that. You have a forklift in there.
I do. We bought this specifically to do a frame job, frame swap for an insurance job on a big diesel truck. And we've found just endless uses for it. Yeah, one of my favorite pieces for sure. We've got the tire section over here. Currently, you'll see it is kind of crammed in there. The belt, this thing broke. So we're getting that in the mail and we should be able to put that on and get it out of the way.
Are you doing R1234?
Not yet. I kind of had thought to myself that once we had to say no a certain amount of times in 1 year, I was going to buy it. And so far, it's been one or two times a year. I haven't had enough need yet. And some of my body shops have been able to help us out that we have good relationships with. This is this part of the shop. Let me show you. So this is an interesting story. This has never had a lift in it originally. This was a wash bay. My brother and I used to do summer jobs down here, washed every car by hand over $100. So anybody who spent over $100, me or my brother washed and vacked it. And we did that right here in this bay. Since then, when we got that large lift in the back, we relocated the alignment rack back here so we would have use for like a steam clean bay or anything if we needed an extra alignment rack. Our alignment machine can actually roll over here and lock into these pads so we can, it's mobile. So we can do an alignment if we have a box truck that's torn apart on the big rack.
Excellent. You guys are adapting.
Yes. Do whatever we can. You know, you got to keep the space useful. So.
And here's the fluids. Yes.
Yeah. So we have some pretty large containers for some of our oil and ATF. And then over there, we got washer fluid and coolant. And then some of the smaller oils, that kind of thing. Nothing crazy in here, just a compressor room, a couple of machines, tools, and equipment.
Did you build this building as a family many, many years ago to be this functional?
Yeah, we built it this way. In fact, many might know Jim Tapp from Tapp's Garage here in Denver. He's a mentor of my father's, and this shop will look very similar to his. When he built it, he asked Jim for some advice, like, hey, what would you do differently? I really like the layout, but what are some of the things? So it's similar, but it was improved upon based on those conversations. And even today, if I were to build it again, there's some things I would do differently. But we're very blessed to have the space and in the facility we have. We do have like water, light, and air up in the ceiling drops. And then they also have fluids coming through the reels on some of the main ones. We have coolant, oil, or just bulk 530 and ATF coming through reels at the stations. So that kind of gives you, we are a one door in, one door out shop. So it's kind of a drive through. That does hurt us. I feel like people don't recognize us as an automotive shop sometimes. People will say they've driven by here for years and never knew what we did till they found us on Google. So we're trying to figure out ways to change that. We're putting out some signs. I think the digital sign is going to be a very big part of that. I'm going into the hallway here to show you some of the back room here. We've got a locker room. This is locker room for the gentlemen here with the restroom and, you know, all the stuff you got to have. We also have some very ancient things here, books on paper.
Yeah, I love that. Wow, that's priceless. I don't know about you, Keith, but that's the archive. That's down in the basement. It's an archive. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've got books from the 70s and 60s, and I mean, I don't know what to do with it. So currently, we just hide it in there. So back here, we've got a kitchen, little kitchenette type thing. So everybody can come back and make meals and that kind of thing. So that would be pretty much the tour. I show you the waiting room on our way out.
Wow. Just excellent. It's very professional. I just love the view that the customer gets. Think about this, you and your brother. After COVID, will you continue to put an investment in the waiting room and will people wait?
Yeah, so a couple things we've already, obviously, you can see we've kind of changed the visual to match everything else, but we're going to get rid of the water fountain, I believe, and possibly that coffee maker, get more of like a beverage station and then like a water bottle filling station so that it's the touchless style. You just hold your own bottle under it and it would fill it up. So some of those types of things we're trying to be cautious of as we go forward, especially in this new world we're living in. But currently our waiting room is closed. We have it blocked off in our area. We'll probably start talking about opening that up soon because they just removed the mask requirements.
Really? In all of Colorado?
As far as I know, outdoors, not indoors, just outdoors.
Outdoors. Ah, okay.
So I went to the zoo on Sunday and I was able to wear or not have a mask the entire time unless we went into an exhibit. But it was the first time in public place. But so we got products for the women. That's very important to us, as well as having like a purse hook so it's not on the floor, changing table, just in case. I got two kids. I know how it is. Not just for the moms. That's for the dads, too. And then we got a little play place.
Oh, I love that. Tucked away, out of the way, a little nook. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it.
You guys have thought of everything, Trent, and I see that it's blocked off so people can't get in there, but very professional. This is what the independent industry needs to see and do more of because, you know, this really is healthy for our image. And again, you've been around since 1914, and I'm sure your great-great-grandfather would be so proud of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, man. Hey, hang out here. This is great. Here's a picture of the episode that I did with your dad back in October. It was episode 576, Life After Succession, from Trent's dad, Randy. It was a lot of fun. And of course, the Pickering family is so well known in Colorado and industry wide. I so appreciate that. In fact, I learned what pickleball was all about from your dad, who says I retired and I took up pickleball. Hey, here's the trivia, guys. Are you ready for this? So what was the only car to appear simultaneously on the covers of Time and Newsweek? Here's the answer. The Ford Mustang. There's Lee Iacocca, and it was both Time and Newsweek. And that was, guys, it was 64, 1964 that was announced.
Wow. And Trent, what a beautiful place. I think I was in a group meeting there probably 10 years ago. One of the group meetings that we were there, and it was such a fantastic looking place, and you guys do a great job.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yes, very nice.
Yeah, I can't thank you all enough, Keith Knowlton and Linda from LKS Auto Repair, Bremerton, Washington, and of course, Trent Pickering from Pickering's Auto Service. Two locations. We had a chance to see Lakewood, and I'm sure, is the other location just as nice?
It's super different. So you'll have to see, catch me another time and we'll get the other location.
Let's do that. It's a promise.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe in a few months, we'll do the other joint. Well, thank you all so much. Hey, I had a blast. Thank you for being here Aftermarket Weekly as we do each and every week, Tuesdays at noon. Bye, guys.